The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. Guess what? We don't care which way you do. We just appreciate that you do. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. So much more.
So much more.
What's happening, man? You good?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am fabuloso. On the show today, we didn't have Drew Dinsick in his normal Tuesday spot yesterday, so he is with us today.
Travel day for Drew.
We'll let him travel day. Where was he going?
His
day job.
Oh, good travel? Point. Maybe we get Drew in the nature today. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. We could get him in the nature.
Yeah.
In nature. We have had him in all kinds of
we really have
natural habitats. You name it, he's been there.
Yeah, the last time was like on a work site location, right?
Mountains, work site, beaches.
In the middle of California.
And leads a good life. We'll let him take a victory lap for his Olympics, and then we'll get his thoughts on the NFL and tennis, which I have my picks coming up here momentarily. Will Hill with all his plays, MLB and more. And then Steve Fezzik again? What? Do we book him 2 weeks in a row? Don't tell Patrick and Dustin. We're just borrowing him.
Just borrowing him.
But we have lots of stuff to talk with Fezzik about. He will be here on the desk at the D here at Bar Canada. So looking forward to that. Fezzik in the house a little later on. Kelly will talk FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first of the 3 FedEx tournaments. 70 golfers qualifying for the FedEx St. Jude. So we'll get into that as well. I do want to start where I start every day here on a numbers game when the tennis tours are in North America. Yesterday, gave out 5 plays. We went 3-2. That included a plus 187 winner and a plus 165 winner on Ashlyn Kruger and Jordan Thompson, respectively. So again, Kelly, I say as my New Year's resolution, please remind me. We're now up 40. Let me get this right. 42, more than 42 units. Do I have that right? Yes. More than 42 units on hard courts this year. And since the Olympics started, which is clay, so throw that in, over 16 units. So again, I just ask you, please tell me not to bet grass next year.
You got it.
Because most of that went back in grass.
Well, same thing, because I'm on a couple years streak with the NBA. When the playoffs start,
yes.
Just like take my phone away.
Talk about betting leaks. That has become my betting leak. 3 today, and ladies and gentlemen, as a preview to what we will do during the United States Open, I ask my friend Kelly Bidlin if he would please pronounce the tennis plays for today.
Oh, man. See, this is where you guys think you're tricky. You think you can get me, but Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
Nice.
No problem. Okay. Beatrice Haddad-Maia. See, I don't even need the full B spell.
Okay, but let's give the prices too. So Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, -141. If you're a VSiN subscriber, you get these last night. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport. She's about -146 now. She's a little worse off. I wouldn't let it get any higher than that.
All right. And then we got Xinyu Wang, plus 178 over Ludmila Samsonova.
I think we go Wang Xinyu, and I think we go Samsonova.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
By absolutely. The way, you can still play her. I got a plus 178. She's still up there in price. Not quite as high, but up there.
All right. And then I'm not going to go long A here. I think this is a Fabian Morozan. This one I don't know these two dudes at all. Fabian Morozan over Corentin Moutet.
Fabian Morozan, Corentin Moutet.
I was pretty close.
Corentin
Moutet. I'm going to give myself a pass on that one.
Fabian Morozan is Hungarian.
I got that part right, though. No, a Fabian. He's not a Fabian.
You did, but you went Morozan. All right, so the picks again. Pavlyuchenkova, -141 over Beatrice Haddad-Maia. She's a little worse than that now. Don't play it any higher than the -146 where she's at. Wang Xinyu, +178. Over Ludmila Samsonova, you could still play her at the slightly less bang for your buck price. And then I actually got the worst of this one. You can get it at a much better price on Fabian Morozan. I think it's closer to a coin flip than where I got it last night. So we got the worst of the CLV, one of those rare times where we didn't get the best of it here. Those are the 3 tennis plays. By the way, Zach Cohen has his tennis plays at VSiN.com as well.
Corentin Moutet is a cool name.
Corentin Moutet. He's French.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
I got to give props to a name after we crushed a poor asterisk yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You, I called you it felt a terrible bad about first name.
You
yeah,
felt
yeah.
bad about it.
I felt
it.
Bad. It's probably like a family yeah. name or something. It's terrible.
By the way, these pronunciations remind me of my first year in Spanish class, seventh grade Spanish. We were going around conjugating verbs, and this kid, Del Outman, was sitting next to me, and the teacher, we were going around, you served, you did whatever, you know, imperfect tense, whatever. And he goes to Del Outman, and the teacher goes, we worked. And Del Outman looked around the class, and he goes, he's thinking about it. And he goes, and he was so sure of himself. And he goes, with a smile on his face, he goes, Nosotros trabajamos. We died.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nosotros trabajamos. Oh, my God. It was fantastic. Anyway, so the big news in the NFL, J.J. McCarthy, he didn't tell anybody while this was happening the other night. Trabajamos. He didn't tell anybody that he kind of got hurt. And so after the game, he had a great performance, as we talked about, in the Vikings' preseason debut for the Vikings' first-round draft pick, J.J. McCarthy. Turns out he needs meniscus surgery. And the thing with meniscus is it's a blood flow thing. And so they don't know until they go in where and to what extent the meniscus is harmed. And so only when they go in will we learn if he is out for a short period of time or for the entire season.
It's always fascinating. I was hearing more about that yesterday, too. And it's they also all of that. Plus, because of that, they don't know how much repair work and what type of repair work is necessary till they get in there. So, it's very fascinating. And we have to wait and see, I guess.
We have to wait and see. And if he can't go, he wasn't supposed to start week one, but you did feel like he would start eventually.
Yes.
And so the Vikings depth chart, for those wondering, is Sam Darnold, as you know, as the number one. But then it would be, if McCarthy can't go, Nick Mullins, who, you know, it's like what a career he has forged as an NFL backup. Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall is your third string.
I was thinking about those guys yesterday because Vikings were kind of one of those teams I had circled to bet on look preseason because of that depth at quarterback. But, you know, you're kind of thinking all along, well, one of those guys isn't going to make it through camp, whether it's Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins, with them having both Darnold and McCarthy. But, man, both those guys probably will now. Jaren Hall might have just gotten another chance with the Vikings after we saw some pretty – what did he play, like three quarters last year or something in one of those games?
For a few quarters.
Terrible, yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing, first of all, does this make you feel differently about the Vikings? Sam Darnold was supposed to be the week one starter anyway, but it kind of makes me feel different about him.
Yeah. For me, it does.
Me too.
I'm not one of these.
Because I expected him to play at some point.
Me too. So, I mean, I've never been super down on this Vikings team. I also feel like there's others we've talked to that have been very high on them where I'm not super high on this team. But I think if you were high on this team this year, and by high on this team, I mean going over their win total, actually competing for a playoff spot, right?
Right.
I think if you were high on this team this year, you were thinking like we were that McCarthy's coming in at some point, right? I don't think that season-long handicap is based off of Sam Darnold.
No, and we'll see if it's season-ending or if he's only going to be out for a short period of time. But if it were season-ending, it would make me feel a little different about them. I'll tell you again, let's go back to 7 days ago.
But you're also right. Like, if he's out 8 weeks, does it matter at all? I don't know that it matters at all. It might have been been the game plan the whole time anyways.
And we have to wait till the results of the surgery before we know any answers. What obviously mattered more in terms of your perception of a team, or at least to me it did, a week ago when you were off, I talked about the whole Brandon Ayuk thing with San Francisco. And at that time, Matt Maiocco reported that Brandon Ayuk, a framework was in place for a deal for the Niners with Brandon Ayuk with the Browns and the Patriots both. And then it was up to Ayuk to decide. And I mentioned, and I retweeted the video of me talking about it last week. I mentioned in that video, I'm like, but here's the thing about all this. The Niners and or Ayuk can still decide they want to make a deal themselves. Mm-hmm. And it looks like now a week later, it feels like cooler heads have prevailed. And that the only team out there where a quote-unquote framework is in place for a deal is the Steelers of all teams, not the Patriots or the Browns, but that the Niners and Ayuk may be closer than even that to coming to a deal themselves. And the reason that this obviously is big to me is because I went through this last week. The Niners window is this year and next year, period. Period, as the kids say. Right? That's it. Because after that, that's when you have to pay Brock Purdy. And once you pay Brock Purdy money, then you've got to make economic decisions elsewhere that are not going to have as great of a football team around you, right? This is what we always say about winning Super Bowls. Surround yourself with surround a quarterback who's overperforming on a rookie deal, or have a Hall of Famer. Well, obviously, Brock Purdy falls into the first category, and once that's over, uh-oh. So, I want you to lean in for this, Kelly. The object of all of this, you ready for this, is to win a Super Bowl. And so if you lose a piece like Brandon Ayuk, and a lot of people say, well, he's not the key cog in the wheel. You don't know. If you're not watching all 22, you don't really know the chicken and the egg on every play. You know, is he creating the space for Kittle and
right,
Debo?
Correct.
Or are they creating the space for him? We don't know this answer. I used to say that about when Kirk Cousins played for Washington. Is it DeSean Jackson creating the room for Jordan Reed underneath? Like, you don't really know unless you can analyze the push.
That's almost always been a thing with any great offense with multiple receivers, right?
Absolutely
it's,
right.
It's both, yes, they're all individually talented, but yes, they're also creating separation and space and distracting defenses because of their ability.
So I think given the window and given what the object of all this is to win a Super Bowl, and this just in, the Niners have still not done so with this current group, I think they'd be nuts to let Brandon Ayuk go.
Yeah, me too.
So
me too. It does. I mean, these reports are weird, right? Because we don't see this like in other sports. Like the fact that reportedly Steelers and 49ers have a deal in place, yet the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk are talking off to the side.
And I don't think, heart of hearts, I don't think he ever wanted to leave. He just wanted his money.
I just can't believe your first reaction wasn't like mine. And it was, sure, the Steelers, absolutely. Win total under the...
Kelly has walked off the set. Drew Dinsick is next. We'll give him Olympics victory lap. And his NFL thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live at Bar Canada, the D. Drew Dinsick standing by. We get tweets. These are tweets from throughout the week here, Kelly, that we didn't get to. Jamie Leva. Quote, OU brave. Gil just casually hanging with Chubb Rock in an encounter with Tupac. I'm all up in my feelings right now. That was fantastic, sir. And love Kelly, how he hits the hard H on Herb. Also, lay off the grass, Gil.
Pass on grass. That's your New Year's resolution.
Bass winner actually gave his lyrics of his Sunny Gray Biggie thing.
I forgot about that already.
Sunny, sunny, sunny. Can't you see the pitches you throw? Hypnotized team. And I just love your strikeout rate. I'm going to bet on you so I can get paid. All right. Thanks, base winner. That kid is hip. Plus EV Analytics, Matt Buckhalter, who was here last week, he was watching one of the Fezzik segments, and he chimed in. He goes, pretty sure your super smart and extremely handsome guest last Thursday said the same thing, meaning himself. let's see. Trust the glove. I asked for a 3-year subscription. I watch or listen as a proper defensive response to the lines moving so darn fast, especially the tennis lines. Apparently, the books are listening also. Cheaters, he says. Tony P. Talking about Malik Andrews. Do you see Malik Andrews handling the earthquake? We have a seismologist coming up on the show momentarily.
We were texting about it back and forth, you and I.
Yes.
It's incredible.
My immediate reaction, because for those who missed it, there was a 4.7 earthquake on the Richter scale in L.A., and Malika was on air doing NBA, whatever the midday show is called, NBA Today.
Yep.
And she handled it like you and I breathe. And, you know, like you're taking another breath. And I immediately said, I'm like, that's how you know someone's from the Bay Area. And
I hope to be as composed as Tim Legler. Did you see the Tim Legler cutaway? Because she was like at the monitor. He was still on the desk, just like hanging out for the segment. He would do what anybody would do in TV. These lights are moving and they're right above my head.
Yes.
So he was like wide eyed, like looking up the whole time. He didn't freak out or anything. It was a correct reaction.
She was great. She checked on everybody backstage, everybody around.
I would have been running out of this place, stiff arming Gil out of the way. But go away.
Tony P says, yeah, but she may have gone too long because if she was still here, meaning the Bay, she would have immediately tweeted earthquake while it was still shaking, which is a very nuanced thing. Everybody in the Bay tweets earthquake when it happens. Like, hey, you guys should know we're all in the same thing. And so other stuff about that. We'll get to more tweets. We have a seismologist. He happens to have just had a great Olympics betting as well. He is the host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. It's our buddy Drew Dinsick at Whale_Capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Nothing bad. How you guys?
We're doing very well. 4.7 in the world of seismology, which you've been known to dabble in, Drew. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. You know, for those of us in California, it's just kind of like, 4.7. But if he hits you in the right spot, it could feel a lot bigger.
Yeah, and that one was especially weird, honestly. Usually 4.7 duration, you're like maybe 10 seconds, strong shaking, you know, maybe one or two pulses. That was actually kind of more, it was more energetic than your normal 4.7. And in particular, it hit downtown LA hard. You know, it was almost directly under downtown LA. It was like in the Pasadena area. So what people kind of lose track of a little bit with earthquakes is they kind of focus on the magnitude. But your proximity to the actual strongest part of the shaking tends to matter more.
Yes.
And when you have something centrally located, like in an urban area, and everybody feels it, it can be spooky. And yeah, that one was pretty pretty significant for what was a smaller magnitude. But you know, these things happen.
Good for her for handling it like a pro.
As the crew tells me, Patrick Maher as well was on the air right in the middle of Sharp Money doing his show from that area while it hit.
And so, he was cool as a cucumber?
They didn't say that part. Matt Hicks did not say that part. I don't know.
I've been in ones that are rolling. I've been in ones where it felt like a higher power grabbed the building you're in and just went bam one time. And those are terrifying. Those are the worst. Drew, congratulations on your fine Olympics. How great was it for you?
I mean, it couldn't have drawn it up anymore and couldn't have drawn it up any more outstanding in terms of results. And then like the way it played out made it especially enjoyable, right? You know, I tend to play into the medal markets, not just because that gives you a little bit of margin of error of, you know, more events and more opportunities, but, it just makes the 2 weeks more fun. And if you care about like random sports, it just drives the entertainment value up exponentially. And, so the first week was all about sort of sweating out, and missing out on random French golds, which there were a lot of close calls. And then week two is all about like, let's just get a couple Spanish golds home. Ultimately the women's water polo came through on, the final, you know, really at the death. And that was the fifth one I needed. So, couldn't have drawn it up any more, enjoyably. And, the highlight for me was certainly, sweating that, Spain soccer, men's soccer final where they're up 3-1 and they blow a 2-goal lead, and then win in extra time. Right at that same time, the men's triple jumper from Spain wins gold. And I had individual bets on him that were pretty heavily staked. So, I was just in heaven, watching that on Friday. So, very cool. And just in general, like, I don't know that you can do better than France did in terms of putting on a show. Like it was so cool. And we could go on and on. I would have a tough time power rating my top 10. Venues because everything was so sick.
Fencing in a castle or whatever was ridiculous. Yeah. Although what was the cross country horse racing was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
We went through a little bit of this last weekend and like it were so many great venues that Drew, I think, left out the beach volleyball under the Empire State Building. Like it was just incredible. They were literally under it. It was incredible.
In the shadow of the Eiffel Tower. Amazing.
Congratulations to you because it also ended well on the final day where the U.S. got to over 39 and a half, right? Oof. That was the big drama at the end.
Yeah, last gold awarded took us to 40.
Took us to 40. It's a beautiful thing. All right, what's the next random sport, what people would consider random that you're betting on? Or at this point, is it just all football, U.S. Open tennis, and then that's it? Nothing random coming forward?
No, you got it. U.S. Yeah. Open tennis, football. I had to pivot hard and kind of get caught up on tennis before the U.S. Open because I missed. I basically mailed the Canadian Open entirely. And I mean, I'm glad I did because guess who I did not have on my radar as making runs was Anna Samova and
Alexei Popperin.
Popperin winning at all was just a holy heck. That must have been like a 300-to-1 shot pre-tournament. But whatever the case is, I need to get back into the groove tennis wise, and then I've already made a bunch of bets for week one for NFL, and I think. Starting to kind of fine tune my handicap on all these teams as we get ready to start the season.
All right, let's hold the week one till right after the break, but let's talk about the U.S. Open for a second. Let's just do a couple minutes on that. What are your thoughts here? Sinner, Jannik Sinner on the men's side now, already sort of the injuries are creeping back. It feels like We're talking about him pre-Aussie Open, right? Where it's sort of like, can you really trust this injury? Novak Djokovic coming off the gold. Is there such a thing as a letdown in tennis? And how do you feel about a always crowded ladies' side on hard courts?
So on the men's side, I agree with you. I'm nervous about Sinner's health and just in general, you know, it doesn't necessarily feel like we're seeing the same guy that, you know, lit the world on fire last fall into the, you know, winter and spring swing. Carlos Alcaraz would be my favorite for the US Open if it started today.
Yep.
Sinner would be my second choice. Djokovic would be a close third, though. And I do believe in like letdowns specifically for a player like Djokovic, who, I mean, if you kind of told me that he came into this calendar year and was like, yeah, I want one thing and it's a gold medal, like I would believe it. Mm-hmm. He played so much better in that particular run at that tournament than he did any other opportunity he had. I don't know if he gets back up for these tournaments, and certainly he could, and he could, you know, ultimately win the US Open. Surely he tends not to play his best tennis there for whatever reason. Some, you know, maybe it's the conditions, the weather, who knows, but yeah, he would be the third choice on the men's side. And I honestly think that's where you draw the line. All of the sort of the next class of guys have just proven that they're not really trustworthy in terms of sustaining excellence to the degree of being in that final and giving the likes of a Sinner or an Alcaraz a true test. And so I think it'll probably come down to one of those three.
Ladies side, any hunch?
Yeah, he has got to be your favorite. And then everybody after that has huge question marks. Sabalenka looks completely lost right now. Rybakina, who knows if she's even ready to play. And then, yeah, Coco Gauff, not the same player we saw at this time last year. She was playing with so much more purpose and just in general, like,
she was so good, so good hard court season last year. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's going to end up dropping a ton of ranking points too, if she doesn't have a similar run, because she was so, so just back-to-back tournaments, just excellence on the hard court swing through the US. And, very much concerned about her form right now. And I think there are probably at least 10 candidates of either lesser known players or, you know, just kind of up and coming young players that you're going to have to keep an eye out for. Women's does feel wide open. I agree with you.
Yeah, but I think you're right. Iga, she got to be the favorite. And I think I feel the same way about Carlitos and Iga in Cincinnati, by the way, which is underway. Week one, National Football League. Drew has thoughts. Haven't asked him about any awards either. I'm not sure if he's dabbled in that as well. Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper from Deep Dive and Bet the Edge. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D. By the way, Kelly, we never throw up this graphic here. You can hit us up, Kelly and me, on Twitter. I love join the conversation. Ron Flatter used to hate when people used to say that. Join the conversation. I'm at Beating the Book, as you know. Kelly is at Kelly Bidlon, spelled KelleyByDlon. Kelly Bidlon.
Check out Long Shots this week, too. I hear Matt Brown mispronounce my name somehow.
Like, not on purpose, also?
Yeah, not on purpose.
What do you call
pretty
it?
Pretty entertaining.
What do you call
it? Kelly Bidley, I believe.
Bidley.
Kelly, like, Bidley. Really wound up. He's like, he's coming back from vacation. Kelly Bidley back in the... I'm like, what did you just say?
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Table Max, because you were wondering if the 1500 was a sprint, and I was saying it wasn't. He says, to me, the race is a sprint. If they use the starting blocks without those, it's just a race. There you go.
So, like, once again, and this is like Drew could definitely help answer this, every sprint is a race, but not every race is a sprint.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Silent Mike D, please ask Jason Weingarten if Jackson Merrill has a killer mustache, because the stash rules and the girlfriend is the cherry on top, Air Force Academy alum. He's talking about Skeens versus Jackson Merrill, which, by the way, Jason was fantastic on that yesterday, stumping for Jackson Merrill. And then did you see this thing? We had this tweet yesterday. Did you see this guy who sent this tweet around about the, you know, the service time? This is from, I want to get the guy's name, Brian McElhinney. Brian McElhinney says, fascinating situation. He's just a Pirates fan for all I know. He said, fascinating situation brewing with Paul Skeens. With the Pirates out of the race, he will be shut down at some point. This is his theory. and can't really argue slash take issue with that. A top two rookie of the year finish starts his free agency clock a year earlier. We assumed this to be a lock, still likely, but could get interesting. So in other words, if Skeens finishes top two, right? So again, let's say it again, top two rookie of the year finish starts his free agency clock a year earlier. So the Pirates, in other words, by this theory, are incentivized to shut him down at some point so that he doesn't end up top two rookie of the year. Now, we talked about Jackson Merrill unseating him from the actual award. Getting him out of the top two is going to be a little more dicey. And can you really see them shutting him down? This is your franchise stinks.
Yeah.
You've got this amazing unicorn of a player. Are you really going to do that to your fans?
I don't think so.
I don't think you
can. Only because it is August 14th, right? We were all bringing up these types of questions in like June when I think it was a little bit more fair to wonder. But like, we're running out of time here.
By the way, also, you see DraftKings not doing their 3% thing?
Yep.
Can I translate that for you? Well, we found out FanDuel's not doing it, so we can't do it either. By the way, watch them try to stick them in the same game parlays now. Drew Dinsick. There's a stream of consciousness on the show today. Drew Dinsick joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Once again, Drewski, did I get anything wrong about that FanDuel explanation right there?
No, that was 100% right.
Yeah.
The timing was hilarious. Yeah. And I did catch your segment with Spreadopedia yesterday, and I could not agree more. It was a fantastic breakdown. And I will be shocked now if Skeens does win.
Yeah, I think he's going to be right. Okay, week one, National Football League. I cannot believe we are this close. This is where it gets real. Still two more preseason games, and then that awkward week off where we all kind of have to sit and look at each other for an additional week. But week one, what are your thoughts? What are your bets?
Well, that week off is great, as you know, Gil. Because
it's tennis.
You take the people. No, well, it's tennis, yeah. But even more than that, like you take the people in your life who you're not going to see for football season.
Well, this is his Napa trip week.
This is Napa week. Drew's plus EV tip of the week. Here you go, Drew. Let us know.
Yeah, I will be up in wine country that week. You're absolutely right. But plus EV tip of the week. That time where you're waiting for football to start. That's when you get that last trip in with the wife so that she's not as kind of been out of shape that you're going to dedicate as much time as you are to watching football on weekend for the next,
Here's my only question about that. Do you explicitly state this to her or do you just do it and she figures it out? She figures it out, right? She's like, oh,
no, it's this literally. I mean, you could be look, I'm going to make sure we spend some time together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
this of course.
Things are about to get really busy.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, this is important. So
Drew laid it out as a surprise trip every year. Like, surprise, same dates again.
And she, for the whole week, she's like, God, you're so sweet. And then she figures it out the next Sunday. She's like, oh, I see what you did. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Week one. What have you bet?
Okay. So most of my action so far has been totals because I feel like in general, the totals are probably going to move more than the sides are between now and we get to kickoff. I think obviously the impact of the new kickoff rule is going to be tough for, you know, the market to absorb, you know, it quickly. I think ultimately what we're seeing in the preseason gives you some idea that you're going to have starting field position in or around the 30 on average when you get kicked off the ball. And that should have a difference to the tune of about 2 points per game, which is non-trivial. I think also you look at some of the other macro stuff going on in the sport and, totals crashed last year because we had such a, you know, kind of rotating cast of characters at the quarterback position. And you look across the league right now, and I think the quarterback position is in really good shape. Even the very young and new additions outside of, you know, a handful of exceptions all look like they can play. And I think that that should help kind of in general make offense look a little bit better as we get going here. And I think, I think you're going to see totals kind of go up over the course of, say, the first 4 weeks between those two kind of macro factors until injuries start to really kind of rear their head. But there are a handful of games where the over immediately popped. And so far the market is with me with the exception of one. I really liked that Jacksonville Miami over when it was 49 and now you can get it at 48.5. Not exactly sure what people are seeing in the Miami defense to believe that they're going to have enough talent to be effective against the Jags offense in that game. I know that there's like a good case to be made that the new defensive coordinator coming from the McDonald's system is going to elevate that unit at, you know, over the balance of the season. But they're lacking talent to the degree that I think that's going to be much more of a track meet than it is going to be a slog. And, you know, there's definitely a little bit of an eyebrow raise watching that Miami tape from preseason week one, where not related to the team, but related to the field. The field was in such bad condition that, you could make a little bit of a case that things could be a little bit slow there in Miami. But ultimately, I still think that total should start with the 5, and 48.5 is a decent bet there. I have 4 other overs that I played in no particular order. I think the Minnesota Giants over at 41 is hilarious. I think that should be 44. I played the New England Cincinnati over 42. I think that should be 44. I like the Arizona Buffalo over at 48. I think that should be 49. And I played the Washington Tampa over 42. I'm pretty much buying into Daniels being able to be, if not the kind of guy that can get you some garbage time yards and points, a guy that can, you know, score and sustain drives enough to keep the Commanders competitive. So I played over 41 there, and it's 42 now. And I think realistic bet is good up to 44.
Is there an awards market that you placed a wager on?
I'm into everything at this point. Where do you want to go first?
Let's run through as many as you can in 2 minutes.
MVP.
Sure. So MVP is the most fun. Ultimately, you got to find the right time to bet Mahomes in that market, because there's definitely a wind in the air that after having now won 3 Super Bowls, he needs to be recognized with MVP again.
Yes.
And so whether you think that's now or there's a better time in season to get down, you make that decision. I'm going to wait till in season. The guys that I think could shorten pretty aggressively based on schedule sequencing and just being in the mix are Burrow and Hurts. Burrow in particular, because he goes head to head with Mahomes week 2, and then his other initial 3 games out of the first 4 weeks are really, really soft. He's going to get out to a decent lead in that market personally. And I think Philadelphia could be one of your last undefeated teams. So Hurts is going to be in the mix again as well. And that's about where I draw the line. I think there's reason to be doubtful for basically everyone else in that top tier, either because their schedule is so difficult, particularly at the end of the season, or there's just inconsistency. Turnovers are a realistic part of the expectation for a guy like Josh Allen, a guy like Jordan Love, CJ Stroud, expecting him to take a step forward in the second year instead of just having a little bit of growing into, what that offense is going to be, I think is realistic. And so, I wouldn't completely rule him out, but I think in general it's going to come down to Burrow, Hurts, and then at some point betting Pat Mahomes.
Offensive rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year for offense for me is Jaden Daniels. I think 7-1 is absurd. I think the difference between Daniels and Caleb Williams is not a huge margin, and it's going to go to one of those 2 players.
Would you still bet him at +450 if that's what people are seeing now?
That's a little bit more narrow, but I would, yeah.
Okay. Comeback player of the year, anything? Or are you staying away from that?
No, I didn't play that market.
You didn't play. Yeah, coach of the year? Coach of the year?
Coach of the year, Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
It's Seattle Seahawks time, baby.
I think you're right. I have that feeling too.
We're going to pump those tires all week or all season.
Not Mike McDaniel. Not Michael McDonald. Mike McDonald. Thank you, Drew.
That's right.
Appreciate it, buddy. Drew Dinsick, luck, everybody. A little golf on the other side. Numbers game.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly, we're in town, so when you do contests, you don't need a proxy. But those that are not in town do.
Say what?
Yeah, man, it's true. And you know what we prefer? Winner's Circle Proxy. Here at VSiN, you can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest, featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only 1 trip to Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy, now in its 9th year of providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners themselves. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro, Stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VEASAN's preferred proxy partner. Why are you looking at me? Oh, sorry. You're staring at me. We get tweets at beating the book.
Golf notes over here.
Sorry. Mr. Bomb Apple. That's what he says. He says, gents, when is Todd coming back for content? Nothing makes me happier than Gil beating Todd up as he constantly interrupts. Also, Todd's announcer voices are gold. I also wonder if Todd resembles a younger version of famed comedic actor John Lovitz. Cheers. He also adds, thanks again for the tennis profits. I owe you a McMuffin when I'm out there for Labor Day. John Lovitz.
I don't know why that's funny.
That's the ticket.
They could be cousins. They could be cousins. I could see that.
What are you trying to say?
I could see that.
Todd Wishnev is who he's referring to, and Todd will be with us on the Megapod, on the Beating the Book Megapod, every week. Me, Todd, Will Hill, every Thursday, before every week, we're on with a rotating guest, some of the best names in the industry, doing week-by-week analysis on all the games. I was stupid good last year. By the way, we have our own contest, 3 plays a year.
Oh, yeah, that was funny last year, right? I mean, not funny, though.
Oh, I crushed last year.
Because you crushed. But then, like, so you got to extend it to 5 for Circa Millions. And
that's exactly right. That's where I was going. So if Circa Millions were a 3-game contest, I would cash without question. But once it goes to 4 and 5, I fall off a cliff.
It's that 5th game every week for me.
That's the problem with those contests. That's why it's so difficult. So Todd says, by the way, since I was so good last year, he's like, fade Gilly. He's like, he's going to get crushed this year. That's his prediction. So we're going to do that. And I want to, I'm trying to convince Todd to do something additional with me. I can't really talk about it yet because he hasn't agreed to it. Todd is a tough guy to get to agree to stuff. Because, you know, he's big time. So we'll see. This is from Skateboarding is a Crime. Pretty sure it's Fabian Marochan. Sorry, I said Marochan. My apologies. 3Jack H3131 snagged a Diamondbacks #1 seed this morning at 22-1. That's good, right? Who is your week one survivor pick? Have a great day, guys. I do not have a week one survivor play yet, but as far as
the Bengals.
The Bengals?
I haven't played it yet, but it's definitely on the short list.
Matt Brown pronounces Bengals incorrectly. The Bengals.
Did you get a tweet phonetically? Is that what that was?
Yes, a phonetic tweet.
Okay.
Said Marshall.
Well,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Way, see the Diamondbacks last night? They refused to lose. Down a run heading into the 9th. One out. Corbin Carroll with the triple, of course. Then a strikeout. So 2 down, man on 3rd. A walk, so bases juice, 2 out, down 1, and Jake McCarthy with a 2 RBI walk-off, and the D-backs win again. Yes, 22-1 is great. By the way, when I was giving the number yesterday on air, FanDuel didn't have it up for #1 seed. Only DraftKings did. So I got a much worse number. I got 12-1, but it was 24-1. It was double at FanDuel, so I got a little of that, too. Not quite as much as I did on the 12-1. This is from Just to Follow Veasan, who I believe we met recently. My father-in-law played defense in the NFL for 7 seasons. I thought I understood the game and could watch all 22. All I keep learning every game we watch together is how little I really see. Your take on Ayuk's value is so spot on, we just don't truly know. He adds, maybe. We'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe it isn't right. Maybe he's the product of it. Clone Bone. Earthquake starts. Kelly stiff arms Gil to get out of the building first. What does Kelly's arm swing look like now as he runs out of the building?
Oh, my gosh. Like, never
love
before.
You, Kelly.
Like, never. I mean, we're up here at that point.
It's not
like Mario style.
Knocking folks out. All right, let's talk some golf. The FedEx St. Jude Classic in full effect. These are the 70 guys that qualified now. This is the first of the 3-tournament arc that is the FedEx Cup itself. 70 gets cut down to 50 at the BMW. Then we go 30 for the actual third and final tournament, which is always in Atlanta. What do you got here at the FedEx St. Jude, sir?
Yeah, I'm gonna start with a initial note that Matt Brown had right after we were done recording Long Shots, and he said, "By the way, guys, thank God Keith Mitchell isn't in this field." And completely agree. Keith Mitchell, take the rest of the summer
thank
off.
God.
Work on the putter a little bit. Maybe we can come back stronger next year because your ball striking numbers were messing with my brain the whole.
This is a commentary on how much your model spits out, Keith Mitchell.
I'll have to go back at the end of the season and look at all my numbers. But for a long time, One of the few things that was working well beginning of the season were Keith Mitchell top 20s and Xander Schauffele top 10s. And then, like, the putter went from bad to, like, the worst thing on the planet with Keith Mitchell, and he became very difficult to handicap. So we'll start right there. Thank you, Keith Mitchell,
for not being What percentage of the audience, when we say Keith Mitchell, immediately thinks of former San Francisco Giant great Kevin Mitchell? 80%?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, okay. Probably. Something right. like that. Yeah, so you hit it. We got 70 guys here, no cut events. So we'll be all four rounds, everybody hanging around. For this, my card pretty light this week. I do want to follow up something we talked about yesterday, though. This is usually always great to look at those. Remember we were talking about to win the FedEx Cup market?
Yes.
Oh boy, I did a deeper dive into that though and looked at the points and the standings. Scheffler and Schauffele
are
have
so
such
far ahead.
A big yes. lead. That like I am.
It's
I
not
am,
as fun this year.
I am backing down a little bit from what I said the other day. I actually did bet Morikawa, but I kind of did it before I looked at that stuff too closely. Morikawa, along with everybody else in the field, would have to win, and they'd still be behind where those guys are in the standings. So I think
it was our biggest omission from that conversation.
Yeah, I think that if you are if you think that there's a guy that's going to win here over the next 2 weeks, that's more of a long shot. Yeah, sure. If you want to play a guy in that market, fine, because maybe he's only starting two or three strokes behind Scheffler or Schauffele, but you have a 90-1 on him, great. Maybe that's the only way I'd consider it. This year, though, I'd probably pump the brakes on that market and kind of ignore it, unless you're just going with Scheffler. Hey, you think Scheffler's just going to win the thing, which he easily could, but you're getting not even money on that right now.
And again, part of that, for those who missed it, is in the third tournament here, It's a staggered leaderboard to begin.
Correct.
So you're already getting strokes.
Yeah. So really, if you were able to grab the third spot, like if you're already slotting in Scheffler, Schauffele,
you got a puncher's chance.
Yeah,
but
you knew your guy was 80-1, three shots back. That'd be
cool.
That's
a bet.
Yeah, but like I don't know if you want like my Morikawa ticket at 16-1, three shots back. So as far as what I did this week, like I think if you guys are at home looking at stats modeling this event, this is actually one of the easier ones to look at. There's a lot of water. That's where the variance comes into this tournament. But otherwise, you're looking for premium drivers. Accuracy off the tee is going to be a big-time thing this week. You need heavy approach. This is one of the most approach-correlated courses on the PGA Tour. So you're looking at guys that are great with their irons anywhere between 125 and 200 yards. Really important proximity ranges this week. You got small greens around the green play is going to come into play. You're going to look at guys who can scramble and around the green a little bit. I didn't really look at putting too much this week. You got smaller greens here. These are always talked about as some of the easier greens to putt on. So I kind of knocked all my putting stats out of my models this week. So really, again, really, really looking at accurate drivers, good approach players. Call Morikawa is my only outright bet this week that I made. I think that there is so much win equity at the top of the board at this point in the season, Gil. I know we talk about that a lot, but how well Scheffler, Schauffele, Rory, especially those three, but I'll even throw Morikawa in there, how well all four of those guys have played and have done it pretty dang consistently the entire year. It is tough to argue in a 70-man field with no cut that one of those guys isn't going to be around there at the end of the week. I think is tough to go against. I'm only going with Morikawa, one outright play for me this week. Shop around. I got 14-1. I played him in the outright market at 14-1. I also played him 11-1 without Scotty Scheffler. So you're going to see a lot of 12s out there. If you can go 11-1 and knock Scheffler out of the market, I think that's a no-brainer, and you bet that as well. So went Morikawa outright and then top 10. And then top 20s on a few guys I like this week. Corey Connors, I've been betting a couple times here recently. His game's really come around this summer. T9 at the Olympics. He's got 8 straight top 30 finishes going back before that. And at this course, T6 and T28 the last 2 years, so has played pretty well here. Like a top 20 on him, like Tom Kim this week as well, played him in top 10 and top 20 markets. 8th at the Olympics, couple good runs here over the past couple years as well. Sung J.M., I'm interested, that's a smaller bet for me on the top 20, but his game's been turning around a little bit. And then some matchups, Brian Harman over Jordan Spieth, Tom Kim over Russell Henley, and Tony Finau over Billy Horschel.
Love it. Love it.
Which I think I'm going to add to that one this week.
You love yourself some Billy Horschel as well. Not quite as much as Keith Mitchell.
I like fade Billy Horschel. I don't think...
Oh, really?
He's had a couple good tournaments in a row here, and I don't think it's going forward.
Will Hill joins us on the other side with all his bets. He, of course, is the host of the Wish I Had Wagered an Additional Mount podcast, but now I have regrets. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.